This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. John Edwards and Wesley Clark hope to prevent frontrunner John Curry from sweeping the seven states with delegate elections Tuesday, while Howard Dean looked ahead to another day to rejuvenate his faltering campaign for president. The states with primaries or caucuses, Arizona, Delaware, Missouri, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and South Carolina, likely will narrow the field or at least shake up the strategies of those who fail to win delegates. George W. Bush's $2.4 trillion budget is taking broadsides from Republicans for spending too much, from Democrats for embracing the wrong priorities, and from anti-deficit groups for masking red ink. Former General Wesley Clark said Bush's goals were tax cuts for the rich and tough luck for everyone else. Joe Lieberman called it fiscal insanity, and John Kerry called the plan the same failed Republican prescription that has caused Bush to lose 2.5 million jobs in the past 3 years. Bush's spending plan strains the credibility of the administration's claim of cutting the deficit in half, said a statement by the bipartisan Concord Coalition, which advocates careful spending. And the budget is long on promises, short on reality, and incapable of taking our nation's fiscal health off life support, said Steve Ellis, a vice president of Taxpayers for Common Sense. Three Senate office buildings were closed Tuesday after a suspicious white powder, apparently delivered through the mail system, was found in the Senate Majority Leader's office. Officials said several preliminary tests, but not all of them, were positive for ricin, a deadly poison. More definitive test results were expected later Tuesday. Dirksen and the other two main Senate office buildings were closed Tuesday as authorities were to remove and test all mail that has been delivered there. Senate officials were hoping that the process would take only a day, said one congressional official speaking on condition of anonymity. The closures were forcing the cancellation of committee meetings scheduled for those buildings, but the Capitol was to remain open with the Senate convening Tuesday morning as scheduled. There were no reports of anyone becoming sick from exposure as of Tuesday morning, the congressional official said. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Syracuse isn't just talking about winning honors as upstate New York's snowiest big city. It might break its all-time record. Syracuse had 137.8 inches of snow as of February 1st, more than 3 feet more than any big city in New York, the National Weather Service says. That puts Syracuse in the lead to win the Golden Snowball Race for upstate New York's snowiest big city. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news. You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Preachers talk often about the Sunday saints in their congregations, those who sit conspicuously in the front pews on Sunday mornings, but spend the 6 other days of the week wantonly violating assorted religious commandments and ignoring the ethical teachings of the church. I thought of Sunday saints when I saw that George W. Bush made a conspicuous 15-minute stop to lay a wreath at the tomb of the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. in Atlanta on the birthday of the great civil rights leader. It was a staged effort by Bush's political advisors to suggest to black voters and other civil rights advocates that George is a devotee of Dr. King's teachings and of his historic fight for justice. His pious posturing lost its glow the very next day, however. Only hours after laying the wreath, Bush used a sneaky maneuver to appoint a Mississippi judge, Charles Pickering, to the Federal Appeals Court, a judge twice rejected by the Senate Judiciary Committee for having a history of being insensitive on racial issues. And that's putting it mildly. Indeed, NAACP leader Julian Bond bluntly calls Pickering a segregationist judge. The disparity between George's posturing and his policies was not lost on the people of Atlanta. Bush actually had flown there for a fundraiser, where he pocketed more than $1 million from the well-heeled, not exactly Dr. King's constituency. But hundreds of King's followers were there when Bush made his 15-minute stop at the gravesite, greeting him with a cascade of boos and protest chants. But George didn't have to see these non-rich citizens, for his handlers lined a row of buses between them and him, putting police in riot gear atop all the buses to keep the people in their place. This is Jim Hightower saying, now that's a picture of establishment force exerted against common folks that Dr. King would have recognized, and he would have rebelled against it as well.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Banjila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Banjila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way, all over the world, from coast to coast, border to border here in the United States, and streaming around the planet. This is Tom Hartman, broadcasting live from the People's Republic of Vermont. Our question for this hour, and I'm going to get into it in just a second, is how bad are the environmental and human consequences of the corporate takeover of America? We're seeing it in this budget. We're seeing it in Bush's behavior. It's this ongoing debacle. But first, of course, the big story in America, the big story, hot off the news wires here. Just hours after singer Janet Jackson shocked the world by exposing her right boob at the conclusion of Sunday's Super Bowl halftime show, Attorney General John Ashcroft ordered the offending boob detained indefinitely, Mr. Ashcroft confirmed today. He said, and I quote, and this from a Washington briefing, Janet Jackson's right boob has been taken into custody and sent to Guantanamo Bay for questioning. We'd very much like to know what the boob knew and when it knew it, end quote. Mrs. Jackson's right boob was detained under a little-known provision of the Patriot Act, which enables the government to detain celebrity body parts that makes surprise naked appearances at nationally televised sporting events. Under that provision, Mr. Ashcroft explained, Ms. Jackson's right boob will not have access to a lawyer and could face a military tribunal at some point in the future. When asked about Ms. Jackson's left boob, Mr. Ashcroft said it is not a suspect at this time, but that it remains a boob of interest. We would like to know, said Ashcroft, if the left boob knew what the right boob was planning to do. It strains credulity to imagine that the right boob acted alone. Elsewhere, experts around the world confirmed that moments after Ms. Jackson's right boob fell out of its housing, Western civilization fell. Dr. Milton Campeau of the University of Minnesota said that experts were surprised that Ms. Jackson caused Western civilization's long-awaited collapse. We expected a Jackson to do it, he said, but not Janet. This from Andy Borowitz from BorowitzReport.com. Seriously, though, the real boobs in this thing are the executives at CBS, who said that MoveOn.org's ad, which simply pointed out that our children will be paying for the deficits and the debt that this administration is running up, was too controversial to run during the Super Bowl. Too controversy. We can't have that kind of controversy here on the Super Bowl. And then they get this. And then we've got Michael Powell, the head of the FCC, coming out and saying, "I'm sitting around the TV with my family, and then she does that," you know, and he's gone ballistic. He's ordered an investigation. CBS may be hit with a fine of 20-some-odd thousand. I think it's $27,500 or $25,000 per station, which could amount to millions for this is the guy who covered up the breasts of Lady Liberty in the Department of Justice with a cloth on a statue from Greek times, right? Anyway, Boobgate, it boggles the mind. Let's move to a little more serious and more real, frankly, issue. The environment and what this administration is doing to it and why. It's little wonder that the White House, writes David Sirota in the American Progress Report, it's little wonder that the White House can propose slashing funding at the APA by 7.2% in this new budget. After all, industry lobbyists are in charge of the environmental regulations. There was an article in the Washington Post this week that pointed out that the new mercury emission standards from this administration came from two memos that came out of Latham & Watkins, which is a lobbyist for Synergy and other major energy companies, and found, quote, at least a dozen paragraphs that were lifted, sometimes verbatim, from the industry suggestions. So, you know, it shouldn't be surprising, and it shouldn't be surprising that these people are big donors to the Bush campaign. This isn't the first time, Sirota writes, that the administration has been caught plagiarizing from industry wish lists. In March of 2002, I mean, this is a long history of doing this sort of thing. A court ordered the Department of Energy to release documents related to the secret White House Energy Task Force. Remember this? Dick Cheney saying, "Hey, Kenny Lay, come on in. Hey, industry guys, come on." No environmentalists allowed. Nobody representing the interests of we the people allowed. Nobody could come into this meeting who might be concerned about the future of our nation's air or water. The environment that our children will inherit, or perhaps more appropriately, that we have borrowed from them for the course of our lifetimes. No, such voices were not welcome in the White House Energy Task Force chaired by Dick Cheney. But there have been a few documents pried out, and a couple of lawsuits. And we find lawyers for the National Resources Defense Council revealed that industry lobbyists essentially wrote significant sections of this administration's energy policy. For example, Executive Order 13211, 13211, was, to quote the NRDC, nearly identical in structure and impact to an American Petroleum Institute draft and nearly verbatim in a key section, end quote. The administration also proposed to weaken the Clean Air Act, and this was lifted from an email to the Department of Energy written by a lobbyist for the Southern Company. I mean, this is just, frankly, rather mind-boggling. I mean, consider George Bush's comments on this.
One way to make sure that the job supply is steady and growing in the long term is to have a realistic energy policy coupled with realistic environmental policy.
Yeah, realistic. Realistic. Well, who's going to benefit from all this realism, Mr. Bush? Well, late last month, the Secretary of the Interior, remember Gail Norton, announced that she would allow industry to profit off federal property. without reimbursing taxpayers. We have, you know, there's this concept of the commons. There is land in the United States that is owned by we the people collectively. Our national, it's broadly called our national parks. I mean, you also have much of the Washington, D.C., places where federal buildings are, things like that. But in this case, we're looking at this at our national parks, the land that we own collectively, and there are resources on that land that, or under that land, that include gold and iron and coal and oil and gas and whatnot. And traditionally, when a private corporation wants to come in and take the resources that belong to you and me, there are two very important predicates. One, they have to pay for them. They are taking our stuff, right? They're taking something of value that we own. So if they want to pump oil out from under federal land, fine, but they pay for it. And number two, they do it in a way that doesn't harm our property, that doesn't make our air dirtier, that doesn't destroy the parks, that doesn't... These guys have thrown this out the window. That's not realistic. So last month, Gail Norton announced this program where government property in the Gulf of Mexico that corporations can go in and drill on and extract gas and oil from are no longer going to have to pay us for the natural resources, for the gas and oil that they pull out. Now, how much money are we talking about here? Over $1,000 million, over $1 billion. And who is the primary beneficiary of this $1 billion freebie? Halliburton. What a coincidence! What a coincidence! Oh, it's amazing. Back to the David Sirota's report here. According to a February 11th press release of last year, February 11th, by Magic Earth, which is a... Isn't that a wonderful-sounding name? Magic Earth? Sounds like something Ralph Nader created. Or maybe some eco-friendly folks in Marin County, California. It's actually a wholly-owned subsidiary of Halliburton. And they have developed some new Magic Earth technology that will, quote, be able to generate better exploration prospects in challenging reservoir environments such as deep shelf Gulf of Mexico gas and global deep water environments, end quote. Another Halliburton subsidiary, Subsea, developed a state-of-the-art deep water support vessel. It's called the Viking. And Edgar Ortiz, president of Halliburton's Energy Services Group, said, speaking of the Viking, that it was a demonstration of, quote, our further commitment to expansion within the Gulf of Mexico marketplace. Well, of course, Gail Norton has said you can have all that stuff for free. Halliburton has also partnered with Shell to develop, quote, cutting edge, end quote, tubing for deep water drilling, and a real-time operations center to monitor Shell's deep water operations in the Gulf. Now, not only that, I mean, not only are they giving away the value of our natural resources, but they're doing so at tremendous risk to our environment. With little fanfare, Gail Norton announced on January 22nd that she had signed off on a plan to open up over 7 million acres of Alaska's North Slope to oil and gas development. Bet you thought that hadn't happened. Well, January 22nd, a couple weeks ago. Did you hear about it in the news? No? The area is just west of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and some of the drilling would, quote, occur in areas important for migratory birds, whales, and wildlife, end quote. The same week, Norton announced she planned to, quote, triple the number of drilling permits approved in Wyoming's natural gas fields, end quote. This also on federal lands. Critics contend that Norton is dramatically increasing the number of permits without determining the cumulative impacts of drilling on a broad scale or setting aside enough money for cleanup. And it gets even stranger. I'll share that with you after this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mississippi Delta was shining like a national guitar. I am following the river down the highway through the cradle of the Civil War.
Welcome back. This is the Tom Hartman Program, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. The administration, from Bush Greenwatch. The Bush administration has approved extensive gas drilling in a national park that is the main U.S. nesting beach for the most endangered sea turtle in the world. The National Park Service under George Bush has given the green light to an, quote, aggressive drilling campaign, end quote, that could involve drilling 20 or more natural gas wells on Padre Island National Seashore in Texas. And it did so without formally consulting the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as required by the Endangered Species Act. As George Frampton, chairman of the White House Council on Environmental Quality and Assistant Secretary of the Interior for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks under President Clinton, said, it is a case of, perhaps literally, running over a critically endangered species on the way to pocketing cash on pocketing profits on public lands. The drilling puts into jeopardy 25 years of work by the Park Service to bring back the Kemp's Ridley sea turtle in the United States. They are the smallest and most critically endangered type of sea turtle in the world. Only 3,000 to 5,000 adults remaining. Padre Island is also the only U.S. location where all five protected species of sea turtles in the Gulf of Mexico have nested. Now, in addition to the endangered species, there might be a few, you know, humans who use Padre Island. After all, it's a national park. Who would rather not have, 20 oil wells, gas wells drilled off the coast, using the sand beaches to get the equipment out there? The National Park Service, however, has refused to conduct a survey of visitors' opinions. As Richardson said, quote, the Bush administration doesn't want to hear what visitors have to say. Their agenda is that all public lands are open for business. And it goes on. The Bush administration on Friday released a dramatically weakened plan for regulating toxic mercury from coal-burning power plants, a proposal that was written in part by industry. I noted it earlier. This is a little more detail on this. Utilities are the largest sources of mercury emissions. By the way, just, you know, peripheral to this, there's been some fascinating stuff in the science magazines that I get and read. Science News, New Scientist, Nature, suggesting that there may be a link between childhood autism and the ability, an inability to properly metabolize mercury. What they're finding is that in the hair of these kids, there are unusually either large or low concentrations, I don't recall which it was, of mercury compared to what you would find in normal kids. They're off the norm. And this led to everybody pointing to that mercury-based preservative that was put into vaccines, Thermosil, I believe it's pronounced, that Bill Frist wrote the sentence. Remember there was about 6 months or a year there where one of the big environmentalist groups, one of the Nader groups, was offering a $10,000 reward to anybody who could tell which senator had written this one sentence in this piece of legislation that got passed and that Bush signed into law that exempted the vaccine manufacturer from any liability. Well, in any case, some folks are starting to wonder, maybe it's not the mercury in the vaccine. Maybe it's the mercury in the air that is coming from these power plants. The levels of which have exploded recently. We do know that mercury in the air and in the water and in the food supply developmentally damages children. And here now we have the Bush administration saying, that's not as important as corporate profits. You know, we got to have our priority. We got to be realistic. This is Tom Hartman, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison, not some right-wing think tank. Stay tuned.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Prozac might be a great drug for some people, but it could be a real downer for some fish. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Prozac has helped a lot of people overcome problems with depression, but it might cause problems when it ends up in open waters and affects the lives of fish and other aquatic organisms. Brian Brooks is an aquatic toxicologist at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. He says the active ingredient in Prozac is called fluoxetine, and last summer he found traces of it in bluegills, catfish, and crappie in a creek near Denton, Texas. Brooks says the human body does not metabolize all the fluoxetine in Prozac. That means some of the compound is excreted in human waste, and it ends up in wastewater at sewage treatment plants. Those plants are not designed to remove fluoxetine. For that matter, they're not designed to deal with a lot of personal care products like medicine, fragrances, and deodorants. Brooks says traces of these compounds are ultimately discharged into open waters in wastewater that has otherwise been treated thoroughly.
There are a number of pharmaceutical and personal care products which are being introduced into aquatic environments over long periods of time at low levels. And we have limited understanding for most, if not all, of the compounds about their occurrence, magnitude, frequency, duration at which they're introduced into aquatic ecosystems. And then we have very limited information on the potential responses of aquatic organisms to these drugs and personal care products.
Brooks says the environmental impact of these compounds is getting more attention in the scientific community. He says they could change the reproductive behaviors of fish and disrupt their ability to find food or flee from predators. Over the long run, that could have serious consequences in some places for the ability of fish to survive. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
That's me, I used to be. I want to see this through. I left for me, I used to be. If only you'd see it too.
And welcome back. Talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The administration, by the way, our phone number is 1-800-TALK-YES if you'd like to participate in the program today. 1-800-825-5937. If you have thoughts, comments, arguments, opinions, feel free. The administration is proposing to allow the single largest unregulated source of mercury, this again from Bush Greenwatch, coal-fired power plants, to continue emitting high levels for at least the next decade, leaving children exposed to risks of developing problems with walking, talking, and learning. And as I said, I'm getting suspicious now about this explosion that we're seeing in the United States of autism and Asperger's syndrome, which is a mild form of autism, given the very, very high levels of mercury that now that they're finding in a lot of fish products and things, because we're just cranking out. I mean, if you look at the curve of the consumption of fossil fuels in the United States from the 1950s to today, it's an explosion. It's just a dramatic increase. We're using more than twice as much at now as we were in the 1950s and 1960s. People think it's been relatively the same. It hasn't. There has been this huge change. Critics charge that the only beneficiaries of the Environmental Protection Agency plan. Now, why was the EPA created? I mean, to protect the environment, you would think, right? You know, over a Democratic Congress pushed it through, and Richard Nixon signed it into law. And you know, Republicans have tried to take credit for the EPA on various times whenever it suits their purposes. And here we have the EPA now changing their mandate. The only beneficiaries of the EPA plan are electric utilities that rely on coal-fired plants. And these same critics note that perhaps just by coincidence, President Bush has been by far the top recipient of campaign contributions since the year 2000. The Washington Post noted in a story Saturday that whole passages of the EPA's proposal, again, another one taken directly from a memo written by a law firm representing the utility industry. And on it goes. The Senate is going to held a hearing last week on a Bush judicial nominee who had been one of the architects of the administration's dismantling of protections for endangered species and public lands. I mean, it just goes on and on. That now they're taking one of these guys and trying to put him on the federal bench. His name is William Myers. And he was the chief attorney for the Bush Interior Department, where he helped shape the weakening of administration policies on the Endangered Species Act. How bad are the environmental and human consequences of the corporate takeover of America under the Bush administration? This is just mind-boggling. He also contributed to the curbing of federal protections to prevent destructive mining and overgrazing of public lands. President Bush has nominated Myers, Bush Greenwatch notes, for a seat on the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, the appellate court that hears cases from Alaska and the American West, where environmental law concerning 485 million acres of public lands is decided. In the midst of this, this guy is in the middle, as he's being proposed for the federal bench, he's in the middle of an ethics investigation by the Interior Department's Inspector General over his approval of a questionable settlement with a rancher cited for overgrazing of public lands before joining the Interior Department. Now, let's look at the history of this guy. I mean, you want to know, you know, what's going on. Before joining the Interior Department, this attorney from Boise, Idaho, served as a lobbyist for the National Mining Association, among others. From 1993 to 1997, he was the executive director of the Public Lands Council, a trade association promoting the interests of ranchers who graze sheep and cattle on public lands, and director of federal lands for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Well, but maybe he'll make a good judge, right? I mean, you know, so he has, you know, he was a lawyer at the Department of Interior and helped take apart our federal lands and hand them off to corporations. And before that, he was a lobbyist for industries that exploit federal land. But maybe he'll make a good judge. Well, the American Bar Association doesn't think so. Not a single member of the ABA's committee that rates federal judicial nominees found Myers well qualified. More than a third. Nobody found him qualified. More than a third rated him unqualified. For example, in one legal opinion that he wrote at the Interior Department, he overturned the opinion of his predecessor, the Clinton administration person at the same level, so that Interior Secretary Gail Norton could approve a 1,650-acre cyanide heap leach gold mine in California. His predecessor in the Clinton administration had concluded that this would irreparably damage a portion of the Kichon Indian tribe's Trail of Dreams. to reverse his predecessor's opinion, Myers had to make a tortured legal opinion that suggested that the word or in a statute, in a law, in fact meant its exact opposite, the word and. Now, this made its way up into the federal courts. A federal judge found that in doing so, Myers violated three separate rules of statutory interpretation and, quote, misconstrued the clear mandate of the law in question. And these are the folks the Bush administration wants to bring to us. And then, and you know, on it goes. The Bush administration is looking at waiving some government safety requirements if at federal nuclear facilities if contractors don't like them. After Congress directed it to start fining contractors for violations, this is an article by Nancy Zuckerbrod in the Associated Press, plan would have contractors set nuclear safety rules. Hasn't it occurred to these folks that the point of having oversight of nuclear power plants by the federal government is to make sure that they're run safely? Energy Department officials say the intent is to give contractors more flexibility. Here's a Republican, Jim Bunning, Republican of Kentucky, United States Senator. He wrote the original 2002 legislation that oversaw, that has to do with overseeing the nuclear industry. And he accused the administration this week of distorting Congress's intent with a plan that, quote, will likely decrease worker protection, end quote, you know, from radiation. John Conway, chairman of an advisory board overseeing safety at the Energy Department, said the proposal would weaken safety standards covering more than 100,000 workers at the facilities. Representative Ted Strickland of Ohio said, quote, and this is it. The decision making will be largely in the hands of contractors to decide what protections are appropriate. It's like the fox guarding the hen house. And then in the next hour of our program, I want to get into the budget. You know, what the Bush administration is doing with all this stuff. But here in California now, we're seeing the evidence of this stuff. There's Raul Campos, the guy had prostate cancer, 57-year-old guy with prostate cancer. And he had no insurance. And so he was eligible for a program, the California program that provides care for people who have cancer and don't have insurance. Well, Schwarzenegger cut the program, and Raul died. His doctor said, with hormone therapy, we could have delayed his death. But Governor Schwarzenegger's budget proposals to cap and cut social services, you know, got to roll along. Just got to roll along. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number 1-800-825-5937. Chip in Columbia, South Carolina.
Hello, sir.
Is on the line. Hey, Chip, how's it going?
Salutations. It's going pretty great. I'm an independent. And I don't know how it is in California, but the politics here is like, if you're independent and you go out to, for instance, Democratic, well, I don't know about the Republicans, but I know the Democrats, they were trying to hold our feet to the fire to say if we came to vote in the Democratic polling places, mm-hmm. we had to sign this oath swearing that we swore allegiance to the Democratic Party, basically declaring ourselves a Democrat for the day.
Yeah, well, they're trying to prevent Republican dirty tricks.
Sneaking in there, and vice versa.
But presumably, the Republicans are trying to do the same thing. I mean, after they had as many as a third of the people voting in the Republican primary in New Hampshire, registered Republicans actually in New Hampshire, voting for John Kerry and Howard Dean, writing them in.
Exactly, but the double-edged sword is a lot of us stayed away. You know, a lot of us decided, well, hey, if you want to be that way, then, you know, you're alienating, you know, your party. If you want the independents that are going to vote Democrat or Republican, you know, and the same thing, you know, we espouse to the Republicans, that if you do that, you know, we're going to stay away or vote absentee ballot or, you know, or we're going to go there and we're going to vote. And if you say we can't vote, then we'll say, you know, well, stick it in your ear or else we're going to turn around and leave.
Yeah.
So what they ended up doing was they rescinded it. So So now we can go to our polling places, as I will probably in a couple of hours, and I'll vote for Al Sharpton, you know, and everybody else will vote for who they want to, Republican, you know, Kerry or, you know, Wesley Clark or what have you and all that.
Yeah.
But that was the big brouhaha that was here, and I don't know how it is in California if they are doing the same thing, you know, telling the independents that you have to swear allegiance to the party you're voting, Republican, Libertarian, what have you, and all that.
Yeah.
But we were in such up in arms about it, sir, that we decided, you know, it needed to change. If it didn't change, then a lot of people are going to be losing votes that they ordinarily probably would gain.
That's interesting. Chip, I'm curious, if you don't mind telling me, who you voted for in 2000?
In 2000, I voted for, not for Bush.
Okay.
I voted for Clinton.
You voted for Clinton.
Yeah,
no, 2000 would have been Gore.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I voted for Gore. The thing about it, the reason why I voted for Gore instead of voting for Bush is because I really thought Gore would be a good president. Because I've been under the administration of G.W. Bush Jr.'s dad, you know, military-wise and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, I saw he really didn't do very good for the military as far as, you know, armament, bombs, and tanks and airplanes. Yeah, but as far as the fighting soldiers in the field, if you know, if you can think about the reports about some of the soldiers that were coming back, the Army soldiers,
mm-hmm.
they were in really unsanitary conditions, man, you know. They were, you know, soldiers that were injured and all.
That Gulf War was a tough one on the soldiers. I mean, you got about a third of them now are drawn disability.
Yeah, you know, and you think about it, you're not going to be able to do very good for your armament if you don't have soldiers to control them.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I voted for Al Gore and all. It's been such a long time ago. Sometimes, you know, I get like a senior moment and all that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I just
Chip, I'm curious how, you know, what's the media like in South Carolina? What are you getting carpet bombed by ads from the candidates? And if so, what are most of them, you know, what's your opinion of them?
It's like everybody is jockeying for an African-American vote. And probably from my voice, you probably can't tell I'm an African-American.
No.
But I am, and you know, and I always say I have voted Republican and I have voted Democrat, but I decided to, you know, sort of shake, you know, the restraints of both parties, because to me, the two party system is so antiquated. It's just like the independents sort of shake your bond, you know, from that, because you can either vote Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or what have you, where the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, you know, they sort of have their own agendas, and it's just so much, you know, it's just so isolated what they want to do. And beyond that, I think there's going to be a rise of the parties. You know, maybe it's independent or maybe it's libertarian or whatever like you. But it's just come a time, especially in South Carolina, where it used to be Republican-dominated. And so when you look at the news ads or, you know, the newspapers, it's always like John Edwards, you know, John Edwards is in there because – he's not a Republican, but he might as well be, because everybody is touting him as, you know, South Carolina's favorite son. So in a way, it's almost like you have a Democrat-Republican, you know, which is sort of oxymoron. But it's just like everybody is out to try to get the African-American vote, it seems like that. But I don't really want anybody to be – I want them to address the issues of the people, not just, you know, the colors of the people, African-Americans or Hispanics or what have you and everything.
Are you saying, Chip, that you feel that the ads that the candidates are running are pandering to African-Americans as opposed to talking about issues?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're not talking about issues. You know, they're just talking about, you know, appeasing African-Americans or finding out what do African-Americans want. And they had been, you know, forecasting this for a long time, how to get the African-American vote. You know, how can we appeal to it? But I was just like, as an African-American, that's the quickest way for me not to vote for you, because I don't want you just to address my needs as an African-American, because my white brethren, my Hispanic brethren, my Jewish brethren, address everybody, because you got so many social needs.
Yeah, we're all Americans first here.
Sir?
We're all Americans first.
Yeah, Americans first. Not, you know, just addressing me because I'm an African-American. I mean, be receptive to the needs of the African-Americans, but don't just, you know, bomb us with all these ads saying, you know, that you're really trying to court the African-American
vote. Yeah, I got it. What's your prediction, Chip, for who's going to win the South Carolina primary here?
Boy, that's a good question and everything. I don't think it's going to be Edwards. I think it's going to be Kerry.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be Kerry, because Kerry's way ahead of Dean. You know, when Dean did that, I can't do it that good. Man,
yeah.
I believe I don't know what that was, but, I mean, the media just had a feeding frenzy on that and everything.
Oh, that and a whole lot of other things.
And he hasn't paid his staffers? And the guy is...
They're paying him today.
Oh, okay.
Yep, they're paying their staffers. They're turning things around there. They're raising more money. I mean, you know, Dean actually has a lot of momentum and a lot of people who really are committed to him. But Kerry's got some momentum
now. I'll keep in touch with you. I'm on the ground.
Okay, thanks for calling, Chip. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Democracy Zone, and we'll be right back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telfar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man, huh?
Who are you, then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Come all you good workers, good news to you, I'll tell of how the good old union has come in here to dwell.
Which side are you on, boys? Which side are
Welcome back. Talk radio for the rest of us. It's 4 minutes before the hour. This is Tom Hartman. And we've been talking this hour about how bad are the environmental and human consequences of the corporate takeover of America. And what I want to add to this is that it's not just America. It's increasingly the entire world. I have a book coming out this July 4th, in fact, from Random House, under their Three Rivers Press imprint. And or actually, maybe it'll be Crown. I frankly don't remember. And it's called A Return to Democracy: Reviving Jefferson's Dream. And I was talking to my editor this morning, and we were talking about how this is not just an American problem anymore. Unfortunately, the corporate takeover of America is now being echoed all over the world. And you see it writ small, for example, in the Democratic Party, where the Democratic Leadership Council has basically said, well, you know, for Democrats to survive, they have to get in bed with corporations. And so you got Bill Clinton, who helped put this thing together and was the head of it, signing NAFTA and GATT, WTO, and the Telecommunications Act. And, you know, it looked for a while like it was a good thing. But it was really interesting. This morning, I listened to BBC News from 5 to 6 o'clock every morning. Louise and I were up around 4 o'clock this morning. But at 5 o'clock, BBC came on. And we get up early to do show prep for this program. And they were interviewing one of the guys from the DLC and a regular Democrat, and these guys were just, you know, going at it. And at the end, the BBC commentator said, and that, you know, of course, speaking to Brits, saying, believe it or not, these people are both in the same political party. This is the battle. It's increasingly not about political points of view. It's about corporations, and not small and medium-sized businesses that do a lot of good, but very large corporations versus you and me and our environment. And this is a change that we can bring about through legislation. This is Tom Hartman, the true people's radio.
Come from the field, but this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Thank you.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Three Senate office buildings were closed Tuesday after a suspicious white powder, apparently delivered through the mail system, was found in the Senate Majority Leader's office. Officials said several preliminary tests, but not all of them, were positive for ricin, a deadly poison. More definitive test results were expected later Tuesday. Dirksen and the other two main Senate office buildings were closed Tuesday as authorities were to remove and test all mail that has been delivered there. Senate officials were hoping that the process would take only a day, said one congressional official speaking on condition of anonymity. The closures were forcing the cancellation of committee meetings scheduled for those buildings, but the Capitol was to remain open with the Senate convening Tuesday morning as scheduled. There were no reports of anyone becoming sick from exposure as of Tuesday morning, the congressional official said. John Edwards and Wesley Clark hoped to prevent frontrunner John Curry from sweeping the seven states with delegate elections Tuesday, while Howard Dean looked ahead to another day to rejuvenate his faltering campaign for president. The states with primaries or caucuses, Arizona, Delaware, Missouri, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and South Carolina, likely will narrow the field or at least shake up the strategies of those who fail to win delegates. George W. Bush's $2.4 trillion budget is taking broadsides from Republicans for spending too much, from Democrats for embracing the wrong priorities, and from anti-deficit groups for masking red ink. Former General Wesley Clark said Bush's goals were tax cuts for the rich and tough luck for everyone else. Joe Lieberman called it fiscal insanity, and John Kerry called the plan the same failed Republican prescription that has caused Bush to lose 2.5 million jobs in the past 3 years. Bush's spending plan strains the credibility of the administration's claim of cutting the deficit in half, said a statement by the bipartisan Concord Coalition, which advocates careful spending. And the budget is long on promises, short on reality, and incapable of taking our nation's fiscal health off life support, said Steve Ellis, a vice president of Taxpayers for Common Sense. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A wallet lost by a Swedish teenager more than 40 years ago has been returned, complete with the cash its owner once considered a small fortune. Gulli Wilborg was 18 when she lost the red wallet while riding her bicycle in the southern Sweden town of Trelleborg in 1963. So after 4 decades, she was stunned to open an envelope last week and find that someone had anonymously sent her the long-forgotten wallet. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Preachers talk often about the Sunday saints in their congregations, those who sit conspicuously in the front pews on Sunday mornings, but spend the six other days of the week wantonly violating assorted religious commandments and ignoring the ethical teachings of the church. I thought of Sunday saints when I saw that George W. Bush made a conspicuous 15-minute stop to lay a wreath at the tomb of the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. in Atlanta on the birthday of the great civil rights leader. It was a staged effort by Bush's political advisors to suggest to black voters and other civil rights advocates that George is a devotee of Dr. King's teachings and of his historic fight for justice. This pious posturing lost its glow the very next day, however. Only hours after laying the wreath, Bush used a sneaky maneuver to appoint a Mississippi judge, Charles Pickering, to the Federal Appeals Court, a judge twice rejected by the Senate Judiciary Committee for having a history of being insensitive on racial issues, and that's putting it mildly. Indeed, NAACP leader Julian Bond bluntly calls Pickering a segregationist judge. The disparity between George's posturing and his policies was not lost on the people of Atlanta. Bush actually had flown there for a fundraiser, where he pocketed more than $1 million from the well-heeled, not exactly Dr. King's constituency. But hundreds of King's followers were there when Bush made his 15-minute stop at the gravesite, greeting him with a cascade of boos and protest chants. But George didn't have to see these non-rich citizens, for his handlers lined a row of buses between them and him, putting police in riot gear atop all the buses to keep the people in their place. This is Jim Hightower saying, now that's a picture of establishment force exerted against common folks that Dr. King would have recognized, and he would have rebelled against it as well.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Our quote for the day from Colin Powell's autobiography. He wrote a marvelous book called My American Journey. And on page 148, Colin Powell, our Secretary of State, said, and I quote, "I am angry that so many of the sons of the powerful and well-placed managed to wangle slots in reserve and National Guard units. Of the many tragedies of Vietnam, this raw class discrimination strikes me as the most damaging to the ideal that all Americans are created equal and owe equal allegiance to their country." Now, in this marvelous context, and thanks to Christopher, by the way, for forwarding that to me, we have in today's Washington Post an article by Lois Romano, Bush's Guard Service in question, pointing out that Terry McAuliffe, a couple of days ago on national TV, said that George Bush was AWOL. This is all this giant echo from Michael Moore's introduction of Wesley Clark, and frankly, I would say it's an echo of Peter Jennings bringing the issue up two or three times with Wesley Clark during the Democratic debates in South Carolina. And Jennings said, you know, do you disavow this? And Clark
said, no, I don't disagree, but I wouldn't use that. And Jennings said, are you sure that I'm going to give you an opportunity. And I think, frankly, that, Peter Jennings thought, this is a story that's worth some coverage here. And brought the thing out. Because if you want to publicize something, you challenge it. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. And the Republicans really don't want to challenge this thing. As the Washington Post pointed out, our question for the hour, what is Bush hiding and where does the buck stop? And there are so many things that are hidden in his budget, that are hidden in his military record, that are hidden in his 9/11 investigations, in this new investigation, this new commission that's going to look into the issue of intelligence failures. I will share with you in a little bit a comment by one of the intelligence officers who is saying, sorry, buddy, we are not going to be your fall guy. But let's get back to Bush's absent without leave period. Just very briefly, Lois Romano's article in today's Washington Post. I mean, this is the headline on this. I mean, what's noteworthy about this is that in the 2000 election, 4 years ago, this issue came up. And the only newspaper in America that did a story on it was the Boston Globe. And they actually did their investigative reporting. They went down and they interviewed General Turnipseed, who was the guy that George Bush was supposed to report to. They got the copies of the records, and they concluded that this guy who was running for president of the United States was AWOL, and published it. And nobody picked it up. It was completely ignored by the corporate conservative media in the United States. So here we have a review of Bush's military records, writes Lois Romano, shows that Bush enjoyed preferential treatment as the son of a then congressman when he walked into a Texas Guard unit in Houston 2 weeks before his 1968 graduation from Yale and was moved to the top of a long waiting list. Remember Colin Powell's autobiographical note, this raw class discrimination strikes me as the most damaging to the ideal of all that all Americans are created equal and owe equal allegiance to their country. Romano goes on to point out in this Washington Post article, Bush was accepted for pilot training after having scored only 25% on the pilot's aptitude test, the lowest acceptable grade. But he couldn't even keep his pilot status together. Because he was in the National Guard during the era when, this was the late 60s, they introduced drug testing. And surprise, surprise, George didn't show up for the drug tests and ended up being disqualified to fly. But beyond that, he didn't show up for anything. In 2000, the Boston Globe, as the Washington Post points out today, examined the period from May 1972 to May of 1973, 1 year, and found no record that Bush performed any guard duties, either in Alabama or Houston, although he was still enlisted. She goes on to point out in August of 72, he was suspended from flying because he failed to complete an annual medical exam. Although he is required to attend periodic drills in Alabama, there's no official record in his file that he did. According to the reports, the Washington Post reports, Bush had been instructed to report to William Turnipseed, an officer in the Montgomery, Alabama unit. Turnipseed, a retired brigadier general, told the Boston Globe in 2000, had he reported in, I would have had some recall, and I do not. I have been in Texas, done my flight training there. If we had a first lieutenant from Texas, I would have remembered. And I think if he had a first lieutenant whose father was a congressman, he would have remembered. And he didn't remember. Reached in Montgomery yesterday, Turnipseed stood by his contention that Bush never reported to him. Yesterday.
He reiterated this. I had thought that Turnip Seed had died in the meantime. Apparently, I was misinformed. Bush returned to Houston after the election, says the Post, and again his service is vague in his records. His officers at Ellington Air Force Base wrote in May of 1973 that Bush could not be given his annual evaluation because, quote, he has not been observed in Houston, end quote, between April 72 and the following May. In September of 73, he requested an early discharge to attend Harvard Business School, and in October, he received that discharge. So, number one, what is Bush trying to hide about his military record? What is Bush hiding? Where does the buck stop with this guy? You know, Harry Truman, you know where the phrase pass the buck came from? In playing poker back out west in the 19th century, the guy who was dealing, the dealer, was identified by a marker or a counter that would move around the table. It was your turn to deal. They'd pass the counter to you, and the counter was back in those days more often than not a knife, and the knives very often had what are called buckhorn handles, and that's where the phrase came from. If it's your turn to deal and you choose not to, you could just pass that buckhorn handle knife, pass the buck on to the next player, and he would have to deal. Old trivia you didn't perhaps know. And so where does the buck stop with this administration? I mean, here we've got David Kaye coming out and saying, we were all wrong about the weapons of mass destruction. Well, of course, that's not true. We know that the CIA said that there may not be any there. We know that Hans Blix said there aren't any there that I can find. If you know where they are, tell me, because I've been everywhere. We know that the previous inspector, Scott Ritter, head of the previous inspections team, said that he had destroyed 98% of Saddam's weapons, had personally supervised it, and the remaining couple of percent might have just been a paperwork thing that they couldn't account for, and or that some of it, some part of that, was destroyed by Bill Clinton when Bill Clinton pulled the inspectors out in 98 and went in and bombed. So where does the buck stop? I mean, who's going to stand up and say, I am responsible in this administration? As far as I can tell, George W. Bush has never taken responsibility for anything in his life that might be at all vaguely negative. He had three oil companies that never found oil, two of which nearly went bankrupt if they hadn't been bailed out by fellow bonesmen or by the Bin Laden family. And on it goes. You don't just shrug this off. You don't just say, hey, you know, what's the difference? So a few thousand people died. So we made a decision that has wrapped up hundreds of billions of dollars of American taxpayer money. You don't just shrug that off. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Richard in Grand Rapids, Michigan, has been patiently waiting while I ranted here. Hey, Richard, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air.
You know, you don't shrug any of this off, Tom, but I graduated high school in 73, and I know my mom was just frantic to keep me out of the military.
Sure.
To the point where I went to Toronto and registered for school there, and I guess was prepared to flee to Canada, and I would have taken advantage of the amnesty that came later under President Carter, I think it was.
Yeah.
But as bad as it is, I don't blame Bush's father for doing anything he could. But once he did, I mean, the guy could, apparently, it seems, although we won't know until this guy releases his military records, you know, he couldn't even fulfill the soft duty that he landed. Matt.
Yeah. Well, let's back up just a little bit. You say you don't blame George Bush Senior,
right.
The congressman.
Right.
for trying to get his son out of going to Vietnam.
I don't.
But
I don't
what about the fact that that congressman, George Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, was at that time supporting the war in Vietnam, was voting in favor of sending the sons and daughters of poor people in America to Vietnam to fight and die, and then bailed out his own son? Don't you think there's a little hypocrisy there?
A little. That's BS of the highest order. But again, as a parent, I know my mom would have done anything, and I just put myself in a parent's shoes in that situation. But, you know, once that rotten deal was done, the least the guy could have done was done his job.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the guy's commander-in-chief, and you just, you know, my goodness.
Do you think, Richard, do you think that this story is going to get traction in Michigan?
I think it gets traction everywhere. You know, I saw it on the network news for the first time Sunday on ABC, and the problem was, I mean, it was great that the network was running with it, but the downside was the Super Bowl was on.
Yeah. It's it's the distraction factor. It's like, you know, there are folks who are saying, you know, this Janet Jackson was the best thing that could have happened. It's distracting people from the budget, that the ricin that was found in what's-his-name's office is diverting attention from the fact that he's being investigated for, you know, breaking into Democratic computers. And on it goes, you know, who knows. Richard, thank you for the call. I appreciate that very much. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio News Network. Truth and common sense in broadcasting. Stay tuned.
We'll be back with more music, but first, a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Now life's too short to take every route. You can't possibly know what it's all about. Just when I thought the big deal was done.
Welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, the pill that will help you escape the matrix. 25 minutes past the hour. This is Tom Hartman, broadcasting live from the People's Republic of Vermont. One of the folks in our chat room, thank you very much, reminded me that it was Bill Frist, the multimillionaire Republican who earned his family fortune by buying up formerly not-for-profit community-owned hospitals, turning them for-profit, squeezing the blood out of them, and becoming a multimillionaire in the process. He and his family, they ultimately sold out and to what is now one of the largest healthcare companies in the world, or to become. And it turns out, you know, Frist, just, what, is this last week, the week before? They were looking into this, you know, somebody's been hacking into the Democrats' computers. And so they went in and they took the hard drive out of the computer out of one of Frist's staff people. A lot of attention from the FBI to Bill Frist's office. And now, you know, perhaps very conveniently, there's this strange powder that we find, and so we've got to quarantine the office, and we just can't let folks in there anymore, and we got to, you know, take this stuff out of here, and it's a... Well, I don't know. Is my conspiracy theory credulity stretched out that far? Frankly, nothing would surprise me. It has been 843 days since the anthrax killer struck. Hopefully this will bring that back into the media and some recognition of the impact that had. Gee, I wonder if there's another Patriot Act type of thing coming before Congress soon. Because the last anthrax attack certainly promoted the Patriot Act, moved it right along. 864 days since Osama bin Laden was wanted dead or alive. Of course, we can expect him to turn up before the elections in November. That is a sure thing. 257 days since we began the search for weapons of mass destruction. 203 days since Joe Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame, was outed in political retaliation. A traitorous act for his pointing out the untruth in George Bush's State of the Union address. And now we find... Again, our question: what is Bush hiding? Where will the buck stop? Harry Truman had a plaque on his desk that said, "The buck stops here." Harry Truman, the guy that Howard Dean says is his role model, a fine Democratic president. Well, now we have two separate government panels, including one chaired by Donald Rumsfeld, who reported before the war that assertions about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction, quote, were based on suspicions, not hard data, end quote. The panels, quote, got access to CIA materials, end quote, and concluded that, quote, the absence of hard evidence was so striking, end quote, that they specifically developed a, quote, Wizard of Oz theory that the whole Iraq WMD program was smoke and mirrors and Saddam was just a little guy behind a curtain, end quote.
Now, this is a panel that was chaired by Donald Rumsfeld. Did they tell the UN about this? Did they tell you and me about this? I don't think so. Wait till you hear what they did just 10 days before the vote to authorize the war in Iraq. I mean, this is mind-boggling, the stuff that is starting to come out now about what happened before George Bush pushed us into this situation where over 500 of our noble young men and women have died now, and thousands have lost their limbs and their vision, and tens of thousands of Iraqis have died. Bush lied and our troops died. This is such a tragedy. This is the True People's Radio, the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Prozac might be a great drug for some people, but it could be a real downer for some fish. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Prozac has helped a lot of people overcome problems with depression, but it might cause problems when it ends up in open waters and affects the lives of fish and other aquatic organisms. Brian Brooks is an aquatic toxicologist at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. He says the active ingredient in Prozac is called fluoxetine, and last summer he found traces of it in bluegills, catfish, and crappie in a creek near Denton, Texas. Brooks says the human body does not metabolize all the fluoxetine in Prozac. That means some of the compound is excreted in human waste, and it ends up in wastewater at sewage treatment plants. Those plants are not designed to remove fluoxetine. For that matter, they're not designed to deal with a lot of personal care products like medicine, fragrances, and deodorants. Brooks says traces of these compounds are ultimately discharged into open waters in wastewater that has otherwise been treated thoroughly.
There are a number of pharmaceutical and personal care products which are being introduced into aquatic environments over long periods of time at low levels. And we have limited understanding for most, if not all, of the compounds about their occurrence, magnitude, frequency, duration at which they're introduced into aquatic ecosystems. And then we have very limited information on the potential responses of aquatic organisms to these drugs and personal care products.
Brooks says the environmental impact of these compounds is getting more attention in the scientific community. He says they could change the reproductive behaviors of fish and disrupt their ability to find food or flee from predators. Over the long run, that could have serious consequences in some places for the ability of fish to survive. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Radio's
bright and sparkling future by returning democracy to the United States of America. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program, by the way, today brought to you by, in part, by Small Dog Electronics. If you use a Macintosh, if you are thinking of getting a Macintosh, if you have a Macintosh you want accessories for, if it needs service, give them a call. 1-800-511-MAX. 511-MACS. It's 1-800-511-6227 is the number. And tell them we told you to call. Good people, good products. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. The Organic Wine Company, I had a glass of their product last night. You would be just absolutely amazed. I mean, this stuff, of course, the French wines, and they're some of the world's finest wines, and absolutely certified organic. In France, to be certified organic, the soil has to be free of chemicals for 25 years. You can't just start an organic vineyard tomorrow morning. And this is the real stuff, and it is absolutely extraordinary, the taste. Some of these wines that they sell taste better than the you know, $100 bottles that I've had of Rothschild or some of the other. Anyway, 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECO-WINE. Chateau Latour, Chateau Lafitte. They have wines that easily compete with these. Anyhow, let you know about that. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number for this program. If you'd like to be part of this, we're talking about scrubbing intel. We're talking about what is George Bush hiding? Where's the buck going to stop? And Margaret in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Margaret.
Hi, how are you today?
I am well. How are you today?
Well, I don't know. I keep listening, and I just don't know how this country got so crooked. I don't know whether it's better to have one crook for the other crook, yeah, which is lesser. But what I wanted to ask was, you keep talking and others keep talking that China practically owns the United States because they buy bonds and everything from us.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to know was if we're borrowing money from countries like that with bonds, how much interest do we pay them?
Well, I'm glad you asked. That's a very good question. And in fact, let's see, is it? I had a plan for the next hour that I was going to get into all this stuff about the budget specifically.
Oh.
But here's the amount: $178 billion next year. $178 billion. That's enough to pay for 4 years. I'll get a list of what that's enough to pay for in just a minute, because it's really pretty mind-boggling.
Well, but the thing,
that's the amount.
Can I say something?
Please.
The thing that bothers me, it's like the people in the United States keep putting their monies in banks and buying treasury bills and bonds and things, and our interest is always very, very low. We don't care very much for the money we loan the United States. And so, in effect, what's happening is that the other countries are giving us money, and apparently what we have to do is pay them interest on the money that they're loaning us.
That's right.
And so I'm wondering what kind of interest we're paying these countries based on the low interest that they're giving the people who are putting their money in banks and borrowing treasuries and bills and bonds and things of that nature.
Well, the interest rate varies depending on when they bought the bonds, although it's interesting that the government just called in some of the, as I recall, 1978 bonds that were paying 7-8% interest. These ones are paying relatively low interest rates because those are our interest rates right now. But as the world becomes less and less willing to buy our bonds because our currency is dropping in value, because our government is essentially bankrupt. I mean, George Bush has just his fiscal irresponsibility is to the rest of the world mind-boggling.
Yeah. And I don't understand. I don't understand how the people in the United States, how can they be so indifferent to whether or not to get him out of the office? Because it's so visible that what he's doing and what the administration is doing is ruining our country. I mean, it's just terrible. I don't understand how the people could go on and say how terrific he is, when everything he's doing is ruining our country and ruining the people in it.
Well, Margaret, outside of right-wing talk radio, I have not heard anybody, you know, it's just amazing to me. The polls say, some, you know, 40-some-odd percent that Kerry would beat Bush right now by about 10 points. But, you know, about half of Americans still like George Bush. I don't know where those people are. I travel all over the country. I talk to people everywhere I go. And everybody that I talk to is horrified by him. To get back to your interest issue, just let me, I just want to share with you, if I may, just a couple of statistics that I think you'll find interesting. We can extrapolate this from the cost of the war in Iraq. There's a great site called costofwar.com that has this continuously running clock. And right now we've spent about $100 billion on Iraq, $99,137,178,000. And they break it out, so that's $100 billion. So our interest payment is $178 billion. So the amount that we're paying on interest on the national debt right now is almost twice as much. And just that $100 billion in Iraq would have paid for 1,796,126 full four-year scholarships at public universities, for example. It would pay that $100 billion that we've spent so far in Iraq would pay for 10 million children to attend a year of Head Start. That $100 billion that we spent so far in Iraq, which is, again, less than the interest that we're paying on the national debt by, you know, almost half, that $100 billion would pay for 30 million additional children to be provided with a full year of health care.
Well, you know, that's really rather frightening when you're calling off those statistics. And I can't understand anybody would have to be better than what we have now.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I just don't understand how they're getting away with it.
Yeah.
The only thing that I can see is because of the propaganda that's put on by the ownerships of the television stations like Fox and CNN.
Yeah.
It's really frightening.
Yeah, it is in a way, Margaret, and at the same time, people are waking up. They really are. And I want to thank you for calling. It's great to hear from you, and I really appreciate your insight. Oh, one last number here for you. The $100 billion, the $99 billion that we've spent so far in Iraq, and of course, we've allocated far more than that. There was the you know, last year's budget of 80-some-odd billion plus the $87 billion, so it's $160 billion total. That would pay for 1,348,808 additional school teachers in this nation for a full year. The salaries for 1,300,000 school teachers have been spent in Iraq since we started. I mean, when you start putting these numbers in context and looking at what could have been done with this, it's just absolutely remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. John, you said Susie in Tennessee is gone? No. Ah, she's there. Okay, great. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, and Susie in Tennessee is next on the line. Hey, Susie, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hello, I was just listening to your discussion about President Bush and AWOL.
Yes.
Yesterday, or the last 2 days, there's been a guest commentator on the Marianne Williamson show on Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday there was a whole hour on this with a retired lieutenant, colonel or something, who has researched all of that information and mm-hmm. tried to give it to the media, and nobody would run it except the Boston Globe that one time.
Right.
And he had 300 documents through the Freedom of Information Act, and he went through all of the details about that. So if you want to get real detailed information, you might want to re-listen to that program. It was very, very eye-opening.
Very enlightening, huh?
Yes.
And Susie, you're listening to us on the Sirius Satellite Radio
System.
Yes,
I am.
Well, that's great. How long have you had it?
About 2 months.
Yeah, it's a fascinating program. It's a great system there. Susie, thank you for the call, and thanks for that information.
And also, Susan is also going to be on another program, this same retired military person on... The guest host was Levine was the last name. Used to
yeah.
be a lawyer in Congress. And now
right.
runs a InsideScoop.com radio on Sunday night at 8:00, and he's going to be a guest host, a guest on that show this Sunday night. So
okay, great.
There's all kinds of complete information with records.
And it's not the only source. It is out there, and it's getting out there, and now it's in today's Washington Post. So I mean, it's gaining traction. Susie, thank you for the call. I appreciate very much your calling in. This is what's happening now, is that it is okay to say maybe George Bush isn't the greatest guy on the block. I mean, there was a period of time there after 9/11 where this administration had actually cowed not just the press, but they had terrified even the Democrats. I mean, everybody was like, you know, oh, my God, our country's under attack. We've got to pull together. And there is something to be said for that, you know, that hey, you know, he may not be the best leader in the world, but he's our leader right now. We may not have even voted for him or wanted him, but he's the guy in charge. So we need to stand together. But that doesn't mean that you don't ask questions. That doesn't mean that you don't raise these issues. In fact, you know, Teddy Roosevelt pointed out that one of the highest forms of patriotism is to question your president. And certainly, you know, something that Jefferson agreed with, although John Adams didn't. John Adams threw in jail the people who questioned him in the newspaper. Benjamin Franklin Bach, the grandson of Benjamin Franklin, the first one of many that John Adams threw in jail back in 1798 under the Alien and Sedition Acts, our first Patriot Act. And you see, these things come and go in cycles, and I suspect that this cycle is about to end. I am increasingly thinking George W. Bush is not going to make it through this election. But $400 billion, which is probably what he's going to end up with, or at least $300, certainly $200, between now and November in the media can buy an awful lot of public opinion. An awful lot of public opinion. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Charles in Illinois is on the line. Hey, Charles, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom, thanks a lot, man. I love your show.
Thank you. How are you listening to us?
I'm listening to you on Sirius Radio, actually.
Oh, great. Another one. So
yeah.
What's up, Charles?
Hey, I had a quick question. I'm a big, huge John Edwards fan, and I was wondering if there was any inkling as to who his choice provides his like choices for vice presidential candidates would possibly be.
John Edwards?
Yes.
He has not. I saw an interview with him, 3 weeks ago, I think, or so, thereabouts, where they asked him that question point blank, and he said it would be inappropriate to even speculate at this point about such a thing, which is true. So,
what about, like, John Kerry? Is there any ideas at all?
There, you know, if Edwards were to get the nomination, I mean, you know, nobody knows who he would pick. There's a lot of speculation right now that if Kerry gets the nomination, either A, he might pick Edwards, B, he might go for Bill Richardson. Richardson would bring in the West, Edwards bring in the South, or C, that
definitely.
Might pick Hillary Clinton.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I would love to see that.
Yeah, well, it's a ticket that I suspect would have some juice. It would it would really light up the electorate.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Time will tell.
Okay. Well, hey,
thanks.
Man, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Charles.
All right,
thanks for calling in. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number. Just 10 days now. This I promised you this. Just 10 days before the crucial vote authorizing the war in Iraq, the administration took the unprecedented step of declassifying parts of the National Intelligence Estimate and sending it to members of Congress. Now, get this. You've got members of Congress who are about to vote on whether or not to give George Bush the power to threaten Saddam Hussein with the use of force. And, of course, if you're going to give him the power to threaten, you've got to give him the power to use it. 10 days before this vote, the administration declassifies parts of the National Intelligence Estimate. That's the summary of intelligence knowledge that is held by the executive branch, by the CIA, the NSA, and so on. And they distribute it to members of the Congress. But they did it in a fairly selective fashion. Newsweek has a story about that this week. And they say that the declassified version was, quote, stripped of important caveats and footnotes, end quote, so as to present the most persuasive case to wavering lawmakers. And while the White House may argue that it only eliminated minor details, those omissions were the same direct warnings about having, quote, no evidence of weapons of mass destruction, end quote, that the White House was ignoring for the better part of 2 years. Now, what's really extraordinary about this is that there was a time when the White House was actually telling the truth about weapons of mass destruction. And what amazes me is that none of these quotes are coming. I mean, you know, Howard Dean says something, they're all over him. But consider, on July 29th of 2001, Condoleezza Rice said, "We are able to keep arms from Saddam. His military forces have not been rebuilt." This was a month before 9/11. She said, "Don't worry, Saddam's got nothing. His military forces have not been rebuilt." In February of 01, again before 9/11, Colin Powell, on the record, said that Iraq was contained and that Saddam, quote, "threatens not the United States," end quote. And Dick Cheney even is on record as saying something similar to the same effect. He said Saddam Hussein is bottled up. Where are these quotes when you need them? Well, I mean, you know, other than here on this program. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Show. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, where despair is not an option. Get active. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number, Matt in New Hampshire, is on the line. Hey, Matt, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. I'm also listening to you on Sirius Satellite Radio.
Oh, great. It's the day for it.
All right. Hey, listen, I just had a kind of a rhetorical thing I wanted to say. It's kind of interesting now. The Bush administration and his cronies are all saying, kind of as an excuse, that Bill Clinton believed Saddam had weapons. Mm-hmm. Right? But Bill Clinton also believed in global warming. Does this mean the Bush administration is going to change their tune on that?
Yeah, I know. It's incredible. I wrote a piece about that for commondreams.org. Last Friday and Saturday, and I've just been buried in email from people, a fair amount of hate mail from the right-wing cranks going, nonsense, there's no such thing, haven't you paid any attention to what George Bush is saying? And then, a lot of people going, whoa, I never understood the mechanism about the shutting down of the Gulf Stream, and how it could plunge Europe into an ice age.
Hey, listen, one last thing. I mean, I know that, there's a lot of states voting today, and I just hope people will really consider Howard Dean.
Yeah.
I think he's really a great it's a great opportunity. If we pass this one up, we're just really losing a great opportunity.
I agree. Howard Dean is he was a great governor of the state that I live in. I mean, I'm the next state over from you guys. You know him well.
Yes.
And he has been trashed. I mean, between the media and the Republican the Get Dean ads that ran in Iowa by the Club for Growth. And it's Kerry just kind of stood on the sidelines, and now he's sweeping up. Now, on the other hand, John Kerry's a good man too, and I'd vote for him in a heartbeat. But Howard Dean is truly exceptional, and I agree with you. I hope that
I think he'd truly be our first people's president. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Matt.
Hey, thanks for doing the good stuff here, Tom.
Thank you. You're welcome. We'll keep it up. I mean, there's really no option. You got to get out there and tell people what's going on. This country is at risk, and we are threatening to take the entire planet with us. And the solution is to change the leadership of this country. And that's something that we do at the ballot box every 4 years, really every 2 years. You figure Congress has at least as much power as the president. And it's something that you can participate in as well. So get out there and register and vote. This is Tom Hartman, Truth and Common Sense in Broadcasting.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
A chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. John Edwards and Wesley Clark hope to prevent frontrunner John Curry from sweeping the seven states with delegate elections Tuesday, while Howard Dean looked ahead to another day to rejuvenate his faltering campaign for president. The states with primaries are caucuses: Arizona, Delaware, Missouri, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and South Carolina likely will narrow the field or at least shake up the strategies of those who fail to win delegates. George W. Bush's $2.4 trillion budget is taking broadsides from Republicans for spending too much, from Democrats for embracing the wrong priorities, and from anti-deficit groups for masking red ink. Former General Wesley Clark said Bush's goals were tax cuts for the rich and tough luck for everyone else. Joe Lieberman called it fiscal insanity, and John Kerry called the plan the same failed Republican prescription that has caused Bush to lose 2.5 million jobs in the past 3 years. Bush's spending plan strains the credibility of the administration's claim of cutting the deficit in half, said a statement by the bipartisan Concord Coalition, which advocates careful spending. And the budget is long on promises, short on reality, and incapable of taking our nation's fiscal health off life support, said Steve Ellis, a vice president of Taxpayers for Common Sense. Three Senate office buildings were closed Tuesday after a suspicious white powder, apparently delivered through the mail system, was found in the Senate Majority Leader's office. Officials said several preliminary tests, but not all of them, were positive for ricin, a deadly poison. More definitive test results were expected later Tuesday. Dirksen and the other two main Senate office buildings were closed Tuesday as authorities were to remove and test all mail that has been delivered there. Senate officials were hoping that the process would take only a day, said one congressional official speaking on condition of anonymity. The closures were forcing the cancellation of committee meetings scheduled for those buildings, but the Capitol was to remain open with the Senate convening Tuesday morning as scheduled. There were no reports of anyone becoming sick from exposure as of Tuesday morning, the congressional official said. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Syracuse isn't just talking about winning honors as upstate New York's snowiest big city. It might break its all-time record. Syracuse had 137.8 inches of snow as of February 1st, more than 3 feet more than any big city in New York, the National Weather Service says. That puts Syracuse in the lead to win the Golden Snowball Race for upstate New York's snowiest big city. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Preachers talk often about the Sunday saints in their congregations, those who sit conspicuously in the front pews on Sunday mornings, but spend the six other days of the week wantonly violating assorted religious commandments and ignoring the ethical teachings of the church. I thought of Sunday saints when I saw that George W. Bush made a conspicuous 15-minute stop to lay a wreath at the tomb of the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. in Atlanta on the birthday of the great civil rights leader. It was a staged effort by Bush's political advisors to suggest to black voters and other civil rights advocates that George is a devotee of Dr. King's teachings and of his historic fight for justice. This pious posturing lost its glow the very next day, however. Only hours after laying the wreath, Bush used a sneaky maneuver to appoint a Mississippi judge, Charles Pickering, to the Federal Appeals Court, a judge twice rejected by the Senate Judiciary Committee for having a history of being insensitive on racial issues, and that's putting it mildly. Indeed, NAACP leader Julian Bond bluntly calls Pickering a segregationist judge. The disparity between George's posturing and his policies was not lost on the people of Atlanta. Bush actually had flown there for a fundraiser, where he pocketed more than $1 million from the well-heeled, not exactly Dr. King's constituency. But hundreds of King's followers were there when Bush made his 15-minute stop at the gravesite, greeting him with a cascade of boos and protest chants. But George didn't have to see these non-rich citizens, for his handlers lined a row of buses between them and him, putting police in riot gear atop all the buses to keep the people in their place. This is Jim Hightower saying, now that's a picture of establishment force exerted against common folks that Dr. King would have recognized, and he would have rebelled against it as well.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. We're in the middle of the vast radical middle conspiracy here on the IE America Radio Network. The interest that George Bush... interest as in the noun, not the verb. Interest, 7.42% of our budget. Now, consider this. Discretionary spending. You know, Bush is saying, it's all about discretionary spending. We got to, do something about this, blah, 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 blah. No. Sorry. It's really not. It's not. The problem is not spending. As Paul Krugman points out in an op-ed in today's New York Times, first of all, you can't trust the budgets out of this administration. I mean, they're projecting a deficit of $500 billion. That's more than half of all of the discretionary spending in the United States. You get that, more than half. But back in 2002, they were projecting a fiscal deficit for 2004 of only $14 billion. And look what we have. So if they're projecting $500 billion now, what are we going to end up with?
As Krugman points out, an economist, this guy's an economist, the prime cause of giant budget deficits is a plunge in the federal government's tax take, which fell from 20.9% of gross domestic product in fiscal 2000 to a projected 15.7% this year, the lowest share since 1950. And about 45% of this plunge can be attributed to the Bush tax cuts. And the rest is because corporations are moving offshore. They're sheltering their income, tax evasion, tax shelters. The tax on corporate profits right now as a percentage of gross domestic product is at the same level it was in the 1930s. But just consider for a moment, $178 billion is the amount for next year that Bush is suggesting we should pay for interest. We must pay on interest on the national debt. $178 billion. The entire discretionary spending for the entire year, for the entire, you know, the all of the money that they have any control over spending, $914 billion. So 914 is all the money that they can spend. Interest on the debt is 178. I mean, put that in perspective. It's like, you know, to use Ben Cohen's thing, you've got 9 Oreo cookies, that's all your discretionary spending. You've got 2 Oreo cookies, that's interest on the debt. And now we have 5 Oreo cookies that's going to be added to next year's debt. I mean, these guys have been believing this crackpot right-wing notion. And you know I'm not a name caller, but I mean it really is crackpot. There's a right wing notion that if they cut off the funds for government, if they starve the beast, that Congress will do the right thing and will cut back on social programs, eliminate Medicaid, eliminate Social Security, eliminate welfare, eliminate aid to education, eliminate the Environmental Protection Agency, eliminate environmental protections, cut back and just let local communities pay for their police forces and pay for the military, and that's it. That's all government should do. This is the libertarian ideal. That the only good function of government is to have a military. Now, they conveniently overlook the good function of government in providing a stable currency, a set of laws by which businesses can do business, an educated workforce through public education, a populace that is relatively satisfied with the quality of their life so they don't have to resort to crime. In other words, a strong middle class. How do you get a strong middle class? By defining the rules of the game that we all play. Anyhow, you've heard that rant before. I'm not going to go into that at extreme length. But in this context, this also from today's New York Times, an article by Milt Freudenheim. Companies limit health coverage of many retirees. Catch this. Employers have unleashed a new wave of cutbacks in company-paid health benefits for retirees, with a growing number of companies saying that retirees can retain coverage only if they are willing to bear the full cost themselves. There is a whole huge collection of people all across America who have retired, in some cases taken early retirement as companies have downsized, and were promised health care insurance. And when you get into your 50s and your 60s and your 70s, healthcare insurance is not cheap. I mean, for a healthy person in their 50s, for a family of 2, you're looking at monthly premiums that, depending on the state you live in and the type of insurance you're getting, are going to run anywhere from $500 or $600 on the low end to $1,000 a month on the high end. A month. That means you've got to earn $20,000 a year before taxes just to pay for your health insurance. So a lot of people retired from these big companies with a retirement package that included health insurance, thinking, hey, this is cool. Now I can actually relax in my retirement years. Wrong. Scores of companies in the last 2 years writes Milton Freudenheim here in the New York Times, including the telecommunication equipment giants Lucent Technologies and Alcatel and a big electric utility, TXU, have ended medical benefits for some or all of their retirees. He goes on to say, experts expect that this trend, which is driven by the fast rising cost of healthcare, will continue despite the billions of dollars that the government will distribute to companies to maintain retiree health coverage when the new Medicare drug benefit begins in 2 years. Remember that? In the Medicare program that George Bush got through Congress, I mean, it was filled with corporate welfare. And you talk about welfare. Just that one bill had more welfare in it than all the welfare going to human beings in the United States. And one of the big corporate welfare provisions was that companies would be given grants. They would be given cash, or they would be given tax breaks. They would be given, depending on how they qualified, in exchange for, or to encourage them to keep their employees on the company health insurance program. Well, the reality is that because of the way that the law was written, a lot of companies will be able to take the money and still cut their employees off from their health care. And in fact, this is what the New York Times says is going to happen. Medicare, in contrast to pension financing, companies are not obligated to set aside funds to pay for retirees' health benefits, and the health plans can usually be changed or terminated at the company's choosing with no appeal available to the retirees. They tell the story of Eloise Bolt, 56. She took early retirement from TXU in Dallas. She was paying $100 a month for health insurance when she was working. That was her share of it. When TXU informed her that she was going to have to pay the whole thing after her retirement, instead of rising to $300 or so as she had expected, her monthly premium jumped to $659 and then rose to $725 this month with a higher deductible. Ms. Bolt said the math does not work out, and she had to abandon her retirement plans and take a $9 an hour job as a secretary to pay for the insurance. This is wrong in America. I mean, this is just plain old, flat out wrong. This is the clear result of conservative corporate governance, of the conservative agenda of turning the lives of average Americans over to the whims of the largest corporations in the world. Last year, the New York Times goes on to point out only 36% of companies with 500 or more workers still offered a retiree medical plan. People, you know, it used to be you'd think, you know, you get a job with a big corporation, you're going to get all kinds of good benefits. No more. You are on your own. 20 years from now, this is a quote from Yu Reinhardt, a health economist at Princeton University. 20 years from now, no company will offer retiree health care. Well, that's just extrapolating the trend. I mean, that's just looking out and saying, this is the way it's going right now. This is where it's going to go. I would suggest that 20 years from now, no company is going to offer retiree health care, because by then we will have had a popular uprising in America. The citizens of the United States are going to stand up and throw out these bums who have not been able to get through national health care and say, the right to survive an illness is a human right. And up until the last 30 or 40 years, pretty much anybody could do that fairly easily. But medicine has gotten very complicated and very expensive, and our environment has become so toxic as a result of the hundreds of the thousands, 80,000 chemicals produced every year by industry. Fewer than 1,000 of them are tested for toxicity, like causing cancer. And we know that the average person has over 100 cancer-causing chemicals in their bloodstream at any given moment. You go in, you give blood, they analyze that blood, and they will find over 100 chemicals that can cause cancer. One in three of us will get cancer in our lifetimes. This is not the way it was 100 years ago. It's not the way it was 200 years ago. It's not the way it was when this country was founded. But it's a very profitable business. You know, every time somebody is diagnosed with cancer, the gross domestic product goes up by $250,000, because that's the average cost of treating cancer, is $250,000. Cancer is a very profitable business. So the corporations that are causing the cancer are making money, and the corporations that are curing it, Bill Frist and his friends in the hospital industry, they're making money. Now it's time to get the money out of it. It's time to say that health care is part of the commons. Health care is something that we as human beings all agree that we are going to make available to all of us. We collectively are going to make this available to us. Just like we collectively watch out for the purity of our water and the cleanliness of our air, at least in theory, at least until George Bush came along, we are also going to look out for our health. This is not just a nice thing to do, not just the right thing to do, but this is what you do in order to create a society in which we all want to live. This is just common sense. Uncommon sense from the radical middle. In fact, this is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. I'll be back. It's 20 minutes after the hour.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
All that you touch and all that you see, all that you taste, all you feel, and all that you love and all that you hate, all you distrust, all you say.
Welcome back. Exposing the con and conservative. This is Tom Hartman. In our chat room, there's been this great discussion going on about health care insurance, and one of the folks made the point. And by the way, if you want to drop into our chat room, just go to tomhartman.com and click on the chat button, and it'll take you to a form on CompuServe. Click on the chat button, and boom, you're in there. Pick the room, the Tom Hartman Radio Program room. But tomhartman.com, pretty much however you spell it, it'll get you there. And one person made the point that universal health insurance is not universal health care, and that's absolutely right. Because the insurance company, as long as insurance companies are involved in the process, as long as they're in the middle of the process, you may or may not have access to health care. I mean, look at what we have right now. And then somebody else said, yeah, but, you know, the price is going to go up. The fact of the matter is, because our health insurance companies are taking money off the top. I mean, if Medicare is administered for somewhere between 1 and 3%. You know, if you spend $100 on Medicare, a dollar more or less, $3 at the very most, depends on the situation, the circumstances, the year, depends on which budget you're looking at, but between 1 and 3%. $1 to $3 goes to cover the cost of administration. And that's it. You don't have any Medicare bureaucrats or Medicare employees who are administering Medicare who are making $20, $30, $50 million a year in salary. You don't. You don't have any Medicare employees who have private jets to fly around the country with gold-plated bathroom accessories and beds in the back. You don't. I mean, they're not there. You don't have Medicare employees who are driving around in limousines. You don't have Medicare employees who have New York penthouse apartments that are paid for by their by Medicare. You don't have employees of the Medicare program who are getting monthly dividend checks from Medicare. You don't have people involved in the Medicare system who own stock in Medicare who get a check every month or, you know, a couple times a year as dividends. You can't buy and sell Medicare on the open market. It's very simple. When you do something on a for-profit basis, yes, there is an incentive to be efficient, but there is also the necessity to be profitable. And in today's corporate world, in the new corporate aristocracy, there is the apparent necessity to also have the corporate jet and the fancy headquarters and the advertising on TV and the CEOs who are making tens of millions of dollars. And those are the things on the insurance side that are driving up costs. And then on the, for example, pharmaceuticals, somebody in the chat room said, well, we depend too much on drugs. Yeah. And why are those drugs costing so much when they don't cost so much in any other country in the world? Because there isn't one central place that buys them that can negotiate a decent price. That's the main reason. And so if we were to simply take all the money that we are currently spending on health care in the United States, not one penny more, just the money that is being spent right now on health care, and spend that money through one single central source, through Medicare, for example, just expand Medicare so it covers absolutely everybody, you would save, because a health insurance company or an HMO is making anywhere from 15 to 20%. They're taking that amount out of every transaction. Medicare can do it for 1 to 3%. You would save enough money to be able to insure the 40 or some so million Americans who have no insurance and fully insure all the rest of us who have health insurance, but it's full of deductibles and gotchas and gimmicks. You could have full health insurance, dental, medical, eyes, everything for every American from cradle to grave without spending one penny more than we are spending right now in health care in the United States. I mean, this math is absolutely undisputable. It's just uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. 29 minutes after the hour, and we will be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse-click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse-click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Prozac might be a great drug for some people, but it could be a real downer for some fish. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Prozac has helped a lot of people overcome problems with depression, but it might cause problems when it ends up in open waters and affects the lives of fish and other aquatic organisms. Brian Brooks is an aquatic toxicologist at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. He says the active ingredient in Prozac is called fluoxetine, and last summer he found traces of it in bluegills, catfish, and crappie in a creek near Denton, Texas. Brooks says the human body does not metabolize all the fluoxetine in Prozac. That means some of the compound is excreted in human waste, and it ends up in wastewater at sewage treatment plants. Those plants are not designed to remove fluoxetine. For that matter, they're not designed to deal with a lot of personal care products like medicine, fragrances, and deodorants. Brooks says traces of these compounds are ultimately discharged into open waters in wastewater that has otherwise been treated thoroughly.
There are a number of pharmaceutical and personal care products which are being introduced into aquatic environments over long periods of time at low levels. And we have limited understanding for most, if not all, of the compounds about their occurrence, the magnitude, frequency, duration at which they're introduced into aquatic ecosystems. And then we have very limited information on the potential responses of aquatic organisms to these drugs and personal care products.
Brooks says the environmental impact of these compounds is getting more attention in the scientific community. He says they could change the reproductive behaviors of fish and disrupt their ability to find food or flee from predators. Over the long run, that could have serious consequences in some places for the ability of fish to survive. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, who talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Casey joins the hollow sound
of silent people walking down the stairway to the subway in the shadows down below. Following the footsteps through the neon darkened corridors of silent desperation, never speaking to a soul. The poisoned air he's breathing has the dirty smell of dying, 'cause it's never seen the sunshine and it's never felt the rain.
Welcome back. Now, would, if by the way, one of the folks in our, yeah, that was Johnny Cash, I can't quite see with these glasses, this, you know, the person in the chat room, yes. This is Tom Hartman. I'm back with you. It's 26 minutes before the hour. And the, what I just described, the idea of national health care, a national health care program, is called a single-payer health care plan. It is different from socialized medicine. Here's the difference. With socialized medicine, like they have in the United Kingdom, like they have in England, which is still preferable to what we have here, but has many internal problems, the health care system of the country is actually owned and run by the government. I mean, that's the core principle of socialism, is ownership of the means of production and distribution of something. So it truly is a socialistic medical system. And it is rife with problems. It's less than fully accountable. But in many other countries, like in Canada, for example, they have a, what's called a single-payer healthcare system. In Germany as well, where I used to, I lived in Germany for a year, and we used the system. And it was very simple. You make an appointment with any doctor you want. You show up. You give them a card. It's got a number on it. They write down the number, and that's it. And they submit the bill, and they get paid. And the single-payer system is where the government simply pays the bills. And you have, you know, government regulators who go out and from time to time audit doctors' offices to make sure nobody's ripping them off, just like Medicare has right now. And the system works. The system's very clean. And the government is not telling you what doctor you have to see. It's not telling you what kind of treatment you can get. It's not an insurance policy. You're not playing games with a company like we all are now. It's just the government pays the bills. And you work it out with your health care provider what you need. Very simple, very straightforward, very clean, very efficient. Internal systems of checks and balances, accountability, answerable to we the people. Those, it is not socialism. This is single-payer health care, and this is the, you know, it's a, Dennis Kucinich and Carol Moseley Braun were both loudly advocating this in the Democratic primaries, and I salute them both. Because this is the answer to the problem that we have, in the disaster that we have in the United States. And wouldn't you want this for yourself and for your family? Someone in the chat room mentioned, well, if somebody starts talking about this, some politician starts mentioning that, then you're going to have the Harry and Louise ads back. Remember the Harry and Louise ads? Hey, you want, this is during the Clinton, you know, in 93, I think it was. Under the Hillary Clinton bill and Hillary Clinton health care, you won't be able to pick your doctor. I won't be able to pick my doctor. Oh, no, Harry. Yes, Sally, it's true. They're going to make it. Those ads were put together by the ad agency that was founded by William Novelli. Does that name sound familiar to you? He is, Novelli is the chairman of the AARP, the executive director of the American Association of Retired Persons, the group that spent millions of dollars in television advertising to promote passage of the Medicare bill. Why? Well, AARP has basically become another insurance company. And they just, you know, they're going to make money on this thing. They're going to rake it in. There's that donut hole there in the coverage. And AARP is fixing to fill it. Yes, now you can buy Medicare insurance. I'm telling you, it's coming. I mean, it's going to take, the thing doesn't kick in until 2006, after the 2004 election, like everything else. I mean, you know, Bush has got, you know, the rest of the tax breaks kick in after the election. The missile defense spending kicks in after. It's just this long, scary list. But I, you know, you can see they had a horse in that particular race. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number for the program here on the Tom Hartman program. 1-800-825-5937. And Philip in Florida is on the line. Hey, Philip, where in Florida are you, and how are you listening?
I'm listening on my iMac.
Uh-huh.
Through cool. iTunes software that's pre-installed into every Macintosh computer to get IE America.
Isn't that amazing? And if you ever need help, call Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. Anyhow.
Especially the people who don't, you know, who'd like to have a computer, and they just don't think it, you know, think it's over their head. They need to get a Macintosh.
Yeah.
The old saying is, I don't know anything about computers. I have a Mac.
There you go.
But in any event, I hate to say this, but I think you don't get it. This is a nation of paranoia. This is a nation that wants a big Navy, a big Air Force, a big Marine Corps, a big Army. It wants Star Wars, okay? It wants a 40,000 employee NSA, plus the CIA, the FBI. He wants to spend $400 billion on the military. And they're going to try to beat up, Kerry on the fact that he voted against a lot of military projects. You know, this is a culture of paranoia in terms of not spending, you know, of worrying about we're not spending enough money on the military. It's health care and people, it's not a priority. It's Darwinism. It's survival of the fittest.
Yeah. Philip, I hear you. I am not sure I agree. First of all, what you're suggesting is that this is the way we are. And I would say that this is the way we are being led. But it's not the way we are. That is not the history of the United States. That's not how this country has traditionally been. That's not how this country has traditionally viewed itself. This is something that really, really started with Ronald Reagan, really picked up steam with Ronald Reagan.
Right.
But I mean, here, just listen to Dwight Eisenhower.
I know you've played this before, and okay. I agree, but no one's listening to that.
Yeah.
They're listening to the paranoia that they're going to come and get us.
No,
they're on their way.
We're not all listening to that, Philip. Yes, there are some Americans who are, and yes, you're going to see on faux news, you know, they're going to be promoting that, you know, the be fearful like
right.
crazy, you know, and then the color of the alert in the corner of the screen and all. But the majority of Americans really don't want to live in fear.
No, but I think the media has pitched it from what's his name, Meet the Press, to all the others that we got to have a huge, humongous, expensive military so we can be the sheriff of the world and that everybody's out to get us.
I don't think that the media is engaged in some huge conspiracy here. I think it's just that, you know, though they go for the spectacular story because they're going for ratings. And our leaders have made that the spectacular story. And the cure to that is new leadership. Very simple.
Well,
I mean, you know, very straightforward.
I know, you know, but I think it's, a lot of it's going to turn on the relationship that the presidential candidates from the Republican Party and the Democratic Party have with the media. That is to say, they liked Bush. They liked his personality. They didn't like Gore. They didn't like his personality.
The media?
Pardon me?
The media?
Right.
Oh, come on. I mean, they have cut a deal with the devil. Right after... What's that? Right after the election or the selection, right after George Bush was installed, you had CNN send one of their senior vice presidents, as I recall, and this was it was in the news briefly, up to Washington D.C. to say we're going to start airbrushing George, basically. You know, we'll clean up his gaffes. We won't mm-hmm. present him in an unfriendly light. And in exchange for that, would you please let our White House correspondent have John King or whoever it was back then, in?
Mm-hmm.
Would you, you know, it's and the media gets it that these guys. These guys in the White House are like it's like the mafia. It's like a criminal family that they're
mm-hmm.
dealing with, and I don't think that there's anybody in the media. Certainly, there's nobody in the media that I know who hasn't figured that out.
Well, I think the media liked Clinton for a long time, and then they felt that they could get bigger ratings by exploiting, you know, the sexual thing.
Sure.
And they went with it. You know, it's all about money. Everything turns on money.
And that's why it's important for us to have a president who will, as Howard Dean said he would do, number one, break up the media, the largest of the media monopolies, and number two, restore the ground rules to our airwaves about if you want to use the public airwaves or if you want to use the public rights of way that the cable lines go over, then you're going to have to give back. You're going to have, you know, not necessarily restoring the fairness doctrine, but getting back to the idea of community service as part of the responsibility of a broadcaster.
You're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah, no, I understand, but what I'm telling you, Philip, is that the choir is getting bigger and bigger. Dean wouldn't have gotten that kind of traction, wouldn't be on the cover of Newsweek, even though he has either self-destructed or been destroyed, depending on whose story you take. He wouldn't have gotten there with this kind of a message if there wasn't a lot of people who were hearing it. Don't yourself fall into the trap of paranoia, Philip. There's a lot of us out there. There's a lot of us out there. I think we're the majority. I think that we're just a lot of us are just, you know, haven't heard it yet.
Well, I just hope he doesn't try to steal the election.
Yeah.
No, and I think that's a very strong possibility. Here in Florida, they still have not straightened out the voting rolls. They've had 3 years to do it. Jeb is not putting any money behind it because, frankly, he don't want to do it.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
There were something like 5,000 people who moved from Texas to Florida who had misdemeanors, who were mistakenly categorized as felonies,
yeah,
and their voting records have not been fixed yet, according to the news here in Florida, within the last week.
Yeah, and on it goes. Philip, I understand, and I think one of the, you know, I wrote an article for Common Dreams a year and a half ago exposing the whole thing with Chuck Hagel and ESNS and the voting machine companies, and it has spiraled now, snowballed into a movement to clean these things up. And of course, about the same time, Greg Pallas was writing about the fixed election in Florida. These things are coming out. It's possible that there's no doubt in my mind they're going to steal elections wherever they can. And I think people are getting more and more diligent about it. The thing to do is to participate in democracy. Philip, I got to move along.
All right,
thank you.
Couple
other calls here. Thanks for calling. 1-800-TALK. Yes, Donna in Gainesville, Georgia is on the line. Hey, Donna, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi there.
Hey.
Thanks for clarifying Kucinich's position on health care. I've heard a lot of people say, I don't want socialized medicine. And I wanted to contribute that with private insurance, I have a daughter with Down syndrome, and more private insurances are saying to people, well, we're not going to pay for speech therapy anymore. We're not going to pay for physical therapy or occupational therapy anymore because they're never going to be normal anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
This is...
Medicaid covers my daughter on those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd be lost without them.
Yep.
So in my experience, Medicaid has been far, far more responsive to our needs than private health care ever would have been.
And what you've identified is the key point here, and that is that private corporations are set up to make money, and that there's an appropriate place for that in our society. We need that, but not in our health care business. We used to say that hospitals, in order to function, had to be nonprofit corporations. Medical practices were more often than not nonprofit if they were large medical practices. You had pharmaceutical manufacturers and whatnot operated within constraints. And, you know, Reagan started dismantling this, and it continued through Bush and Clinton and now this guy. And look at what's happened. It is and so now we have to go back to a system where the institution which is us and which is designed to look out for us because it is us,
it
should be the one taking control of that, as you said, with Medicaid. Absolutely right. Well said, Donna.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. 1-800-TALK, yes. 1-800-825-5937. Terry in California is on the line. Hey, Terry, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. I agree with you almost 100% of the time, but I'll tell you, I think you're missing it on this thing. And it is, the media is the message. And I don't think, I can't recall of any campaign, a national campaign, that has ever addressed the issue of the media. Until Kucinich stood up on that platform at one of the debates and let down on Ted Koppel, And then the next day, the ABC dropped him. And when I start watching PBS, and all they do, when they don't mention Kucinich anymore. They just talk about the front runners. That's the buzzword they use. Bill Moyers doesn't talk about Kucinich anymore. He just talks about the front runners. And when they MoveOn.org, they can't get their ad placed on CBS, so we can watch Janet Jackson's breast pop out. I just think there's just way something wrong with the media. When it's the media is the message, and we need to get that message out, and we can't because the media controls the media.
I'm there with you, Terry. I absolutely agree. What I'm saying is that while that is absolutely true, I also don't believe that all Americans are asleep. The internet, of course, is the one thing that's holding all this together, the breaking the message through. But
everybody's
know,
not on the internet. I live in a very wonderful pocket right above Silicon Valley, right north of San Francisco. Here, we got all of my friends are on the internet. If they're not on the internet, I hardly even know them. But I get out of this pocket where I live, and I go drive around out here to Bakersfield or over to Sacramento even, or even, you know, just even anywhere outside of this little pocket of area where I live, and there's not very many people on the Internet, and you start asking people, who's Kucinich? Are you going to talk about Kucinich? Who is he? I don't know.
This is why I started this radio program, Terry, and it's why we're pushing to bring liberal talk radio, or whatever you want to call it, progressive talk radio, the radical middle, all across the United States, and we're doing it. We are now broadcasting live coast to coast, and more and more. This is absolutely what needs to be done. Thanks for the call, Terry. I appreciate it. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
The Mike Molloy Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Ching, ching, ching.
Our program today produced by Louise Hartman here in Montpelier, Vermont, engineered in Detroit by Steve Damschroeder, and music edited by Brad Walrod in New York City. Thank you all, and thanks, a special thanks to the folks who showed up in our chat room today to hang out with us. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. We still have a few minutes left in the program. It's 4 minutes before the top of the hour, and Mike in North Carolina is on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm alive and kicking. What's up, Mike?
Listen, I'd like to concur with your last caller, Terry. That the media is too strong, and it is swaying the opinion of the American voter.
I agree.
If you look at what happened during Iowa and in New Hampshire, where they tried to make out Howard Dean was unelectable,
yeah,
that was nothing but to smear him because they wasn't able to get him on any issues.
Well, and I think, and I've said before, I think that goes back to when he was on 4 weeks ago now, that he was on Chris Matthews' show, and he said he was going to break up the media monopolies.
Exactly.
And he hasn't gotten one bit of good press since then.
Exactly. You know, and he's all against, you know, increasing media ownership from 35% to 45%.
Oh, he's talking about taking it back down to, if you're going to own it, you got to live in the community where it exists.
And that's the way it should be. And also, you know, the party is not behind him. I'm talking about the Democratic Party,
yeah,
because, you know, he's wanting to limit campaign contributions to $250 per individual. That's,
yeah,
taking big money out of government, and nobody wants to see that.
Yeah. No, it's you're absolutely right. I mean, he's Howard Dean is the reformer in the Democrats the way that John McCain was in the Republican Party, and neither one are welcome in their own parties, unfortunately. It's a tragedy.
If the American people would wake up, they would see that, you know, we've actually had two choices in this election. That was either Dennis Kucinich or Howard Dean. Well, Howard Dean, I ain't saying nothing bad against Dennis because Dennis is, you know, has some good points. But Howard, being a governor and all, he has a record. And you can look at his record, and it is squeaky clean.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the man for America.
Yeah, he's a good man. I, you know, as I said, I live here in Vermont. I have a lot of respect for Howard Dean. Mike, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Thomas Paine said in 1776, these are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier, the sunshine patriot will now, no doubt, shrink from the service of his country. But tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Time for us to stand up to tyranny. Register, vote, participate. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow. Same time, same place.
This ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh.
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to the lifestyles of the wet and stinky.